Daddy was the son of a railroad man from west of hell, where the trains don't even run. Never heard the whistle of a southbound freight or the singing of its driving wheel. No, I never did no wandering. Never did no wandering. Never did no wandering after all. They say the highway's just one big road, and it goes from here to there. And they say you carry a heavy load when you're rolling down the line somewhere. Never seen the dance of the telephone poles as they go whizzing by. No, I never did no wandering. Never did no wandering. Never did no wandering after all. Never did no wandering high. Never did no wandering low. Now a sailor's life is a life for him, but it never was for me. And I've never soared where the hawk may soar, or see what the hawk might see. Never hiked to heaven on a mountain trail. Never rode on a river's range. No, I never did no wandering. Never did no wandering. Never did no wandering after all. Never did no wandering. And never did no wandering. Never did no wandering after all. Never did no wandering after all.
Show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Go. Oh, you're exactly where you want to be. You landed in Juicebox Radio on... On what? On what?
Start
on what?
Again.
Are we starting again?
Start
okay,
again.
Take two. Don't touch... Don't touch that dial. I think you are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, you can download our podcast at juiceboxradio.com. We've definitely not been here for 2 weeks. We've missed you guys.
Oh, we have not been here because we were like, oh, I was just rusty. And we're like so late. I've never been so late for my show. It'll be 4 years in 2 weeks from now.
Yay!
4 years I've been on the... Yeah, and I've never been late. So tonight's the first time. Feels really weird. And it's been 2 weeks since we've been on the air, so that feels weird too.
And it is the first time for a lot of things. For example, tonight we popped your cherry in a couple things. Julia's never been late, and we'd never tried speed dating. Have you ever tried it? If so, you should call us in.
Yes, call in at 604-822-2487. Please call in tonight if you have tried speed dating, if you have any experiences with speed dating, or have some comments that you might be afraid of speed dating. Or you think, oh, what a weird thing to do. Give us your feedback. 604-822-2487. That'd be 1 in front of that if you're from another country, or 011 or something. We have lots of people that call in from all kinds of places in the world, like France and Africa. We have a lot of listeners that call in from Australia or
States.
Have emailed all over the States. So please let us know what you think about speed dating. Call us tonight. We may be having an interview with... if they can make it up here, because they were really lovely.
They were great.
They just kicked us out and said, and so that's it, and so you can go, or whatever. And then Caroline was right beside me and said, I think they're talking to us, because like they know we have to go. And I was like, what time is it? And then it was like, finally pulled my cell phone out, which was covered in fluids. And
not the fluids you're thinking.
Oh, yes. Speed dating, yes. Premature ejaculators unite. This is the date for you.
Well, there was that one story we did read about that woman who was giving the guy head under the table. Or was it a hand job?
Where I can't is the remember. Story? Have you? Can you find a story?
It's in there. I know there. We saw it. I
mean, okay, well, you have to read that in a minute. One of the most fabulous, I think, experiences I had was with the high level of professionalism that was going on from the organizers, Charlie, Hillary, and Chris, from, what do they call it, Rendezvous Club. And it's rclub.ca that puts together the night tonight that Caroline and I were so graciously hosted at. They basically create this sort of safe and comfortable atmosphere for you sort of to feel at ease. It's very professional.
And they welcome you at the door.
Exactly.
If it would have been colder out, they would have taken our coats, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But mm-hmm. they're really great, where they gave us the name tag.
And the date cards. You have this date card, and they give you this thing where there's like, you know, the 15 dates or the 20 dates on the card, and just their first names or whatever. And you have...
Gave mm-hmm. us some icebreaker things, like they gave us this bingo sheet where it had all these things on it, things like
Prime Minister? Have you do you love camping?
Do you know a celebrity? We should just have
gone skiing.
Each other.
Do you like skiing? What's that about celebrities?
We should have said that we knew each other.
Well, I don't know if we're quite celebrities yet, but
well, we're kind of sort of getting there in our own strange world.
Yeah, in our own little juice box land. And so then basically they sort of get you to kind of relax, take your time. And there's this time, you know, they give you a free drink. And so you sort of mingle for 20-odd minutes.
20 minutes.
And then you
so.
Sort of sit down. And the women sit in one place and the men rotate, which is the speed dating thing to do.
Well, so, I think it's a smart thing to do because mm-hmm. we've got heels after all. And it would take us forever to rotate.
I also think that if we got up in between the dates and we kind of were like what the guys were doing, I noticed, which was kind of fumbly, kind of like...
Awkward,
kind of trying to get in and out of the chair and sort of move about the room. I think that would have been too much eye candy for most of the guys.
So. Oh, I think they would have freaked.
Yeah,
some of them are interesting.
And I'm fighting this cold and I had to try not coughing the whole time. And I think that was really not a very nice date. I don't know how many yeses I got, but we'll find out by email soon.
I'm sure you got lots of yeses,
Julia. So, interesting. Just so people know what speed dating is about, just to quickly...
get into it.
Basically, the guys change. And then we had this middle time where there was like a 10-minute intermission.
And each date is about 5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And they came by with this big gong.
Yeah, which I thought was good. And it wasn't very loud or horrible.
They let me gong at once, which was pretty cool, which I really liked.
Yeah.
I like banging the bell.
I think the gong maybe feeds back into your ancient cell memory about gong banging or something.
I think it does. It's my Asian Chinese roots. So that makes sense. So, Asian Chinese.
Yeah. Well, Asian Chinese. Well, there's lots of Asians around and you're of the Chinese variety.
That's true.
So basically, the men move around. And then at the end of the evening, you sort of have this date card and you hand it to the hosts. And we have the tick of yes or no or whatever. And then within about a couple of days, you get an email with your matches. So they give you basically your email with the person's name and their email in there. So you can actually email them.
And Julia and I rushed out of there so fast. I don't know if we filled everything out exactly.
So if any of you men might be listening, although most of you won't, because Julia told the secret to three of them. I couldn't even hold it back. There was three different... There was three guys that were just very sort of just kind of upfront and sort of like, well, what are you doing here? Like, what are you here for? And I was kind of going, well, what's wrong with me? And they're like, you're just too gorgeous to be here or whatever. Like,
see,
you know,
I didn't get that.
And, well, I think that because they said that to me and I probably pointed at you of those three times.
You are gorgeous, baby.
Caroline, I did tell them. Each one of them, I said... my co-host, and I pointed at you. So by the time they don't tell her. I said, do not tell her that I told you. And they were like, okay. I think guys like secrets.
I think they do too. Mm-hmm.
So they kept the secret and they didn't tell you, and that's why you didn't get that why are you here? You're too gorgeous to be here thing. Because I said, well, we're doing this radio show and we're reviewing this speed dating thing, and they're like, oh, really? And they kind of got a little uncomfortable. So there was these three different situations that happened.
I should go through the list later with you and figure out exactly which ones, because I want to see if they were uncomfortable at all.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I know which ones, but...
Mm-hmm. I think you probably do. It was a very trippy situation. When Caroline and I decided to get a little bit of a snack beforehand, because we heard that, you know, you just basically get like a little tiny bit of a nibble in the middle part, so you shouldn't really go in without having something to eat. Mm-hmm. So we did. We had a little snack and we sat near the front door so that we could watch
every single person coming in.
And we're like, who is that? Is that coming from the dating? Who is that?
Oh, and there were some scary ones. We got scared at the beginning. Well, there were. There was those really young ones, which thankfully weren't part of it. They were actually coming into the restaurant because it was held at the eatery, which if you ever get a chance, it's got some of the best sushi in Vancouver.
And it's very creative. And really it's very funky and sexy in there. And they always have really cool music. And sometimes they have hot videos. Randy can get quite randy.
Very handy.
Maybe he plays dirty videos that are kind of, you know, pornomation or something. Anyway, yeah, so we were watching these people coming in, and then we were, like, kind of freaked out because some of them looked like maybe they were shouldn't be at the speed dating. And we were scared if we had to talk to them.
It was going to make us pedophilia, even though it was supposed to be between 25 to 35. So
Caroline and I are pushing the 35 line. I admitted it to a couple of guys, and, yeah, they were definitely under 35. So
huge.
There was no one there that was 35, which I found interesting because I think, well, if these men are there, and I think I'd say over half of them were very attractive. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if you would just
most
look at them.
Most of them were really good looking.
Yeah, and the girls were good looking too. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, you know, there's all these good looking guys and fairly, you know, attractive women, and they're all kind of young. They're under 35 or whatever. What are they doing at this thing, you know? And it just reeks of the bad dating scene in Vancouver. It's just, I know, and even on their website, the Rendezvous Club website, rclub.ca, they said, you know, don't talk about how bad the dating scene is in Vancouver, like in one of your 5-minute date things, you know, don't talk about it. And it's interesting because it's true. It's pathetic. And, you know, I have so many gorgeous friends like you and, you know, single, lovely, intelligent,
thanks,
well put together, directed, you know, not crazy more than the average person is crazy. Like, you know, just great girls, good sense of humor, etc. Single. And I'm just like, what's up? And I don't get it. And, you know, lots of my girlfriends are like this. And it's like we're all sitting around sort of going, what the hell is going on in Vancouver? So break it down. Give us a call, 604-822-2487, UBCCITR. Let us know what you think about that, because I'm confused myself. I've got some some ideas about what that's about. But back to speed dating tonight. We're talking about speed dating. What do we got here? What are we saying?
Well, we've got a lot actually. Earlier today, I was online at work, and I was on the Vancouver Discover Vancouver website, and there were a couple interesting ones in terms of just people's experiences about speed dating. Because the topic on the forum was, have you ever tried speed dating? Would you recommend it or not? So there were a couple different stories that were on there. Some of them were pretty general. Some of them were sweet. There was actually one on there where I went on speed dating with a company called 25dates.com just over a year ago. There's about 25 men, 25 women. Had a blast. It went extremely well. And if you didn't end up matched up with someone, the next time was free. In my case, I ended up matched up with someone and we're now engaged. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm, cute.
In terms of that. But there are other ones that were interesting where one of the general consensus was just that it was pretty expensive. There's a couple
of
Tonight
was pretty expensive.
It was like...
I think, you know, it was $48 or something. I know we're not supposed to say prices. Oops. Mm-hmm. But there was... we have to say this. We have to admit it. We're doing a review of the night, and there was four men, apparently, that chickened out, quote-unquote, from the apartment.
Yeah.
And they didn't show up. So what happens is in this sold-out, limited event where it's not just... They try to match the genders or whatever in this particular environment. It's a hetero environment, and they match the genders. And so when four guys don't show up, there's four slots where you're sitting there as a woman...
Doing nothing. Just taking notes, which is what we did.
Which is what we did.
Have a show to do, so it's different.
Yeah, but I sat there, and which was kind of nice. I mean, I would have liked to have had 3 5-minute dates and then a break, but I had like one, then a break, and then one, then a break, and it was too much. Like, it was sort of sitting there going, wow, this is... And then I went across to this other woman, and I actually moved over and talked to another woman who was sitting there with a break, and I said, this is like too much, you know, break time. And she's like, yeah, I'm pissed off. I've paid this much money, and this is like $4 or $5 that I should be getting back, like, per date that's not happening, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm paying for these dates to happen. I'm paying for them to do the marketing and get the people in the seats and to give me a chance to meet somebody, right? And it's true. It's like pound for pound, dollar for dollar, that's $5 pretty much per person that didn't show up. So that's a $20, you know, or $15, $20 value that was absolutely not happening. So I had to agree and I think if you're a paying customer, I'd be pretty annoyed. We weren't paying customers. We were reviewing the night, so we were just sort of open books and having a great time. But I think if we were kind of a little bit more what's happening, you know, and sort of being more critical in that way. Yeah, so anyway.
No, I think you're right with that. That was another thing, too. Just the guys in general seemed very happy. The ones I talked to, it was like, so what did you think in terms of that? Some of their feedback was interesting. There's that one guy that we spoke to where I asked him, have you had any weird questions? And he mentioned about the girl who had asked him in terms of what his favorite sex toy was. I thought that was an interesting question. He said a butt plug, but he'd never used a butt plug before, which I thought was really cute. And he realized it came out of his mouth before he said it. So I was wondering if that was a Freudian slip or not, but he was so cool and sweet.
He's very cute. And I put a yes by him, even though he was only 28, just because I thought he was really adorable. And he's like, this butt plug thing. And he's like, where'd that come from? And I think you're right.
And Julius is like, I could educate you about that. And then we both started laughing because we're supposed to be incognito.
Right. So. I think that was the first break in the seam, actually.
And he's like, what? What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, nothing. And then the two of us started giggling like we did.
Yeah. So
but I tell you, Julia, like, I honestly never thought we'd be doing this. Like, when I met you when I was 6 years old, I mean, I thought we'd be married with kids by this point. You know, not at the, you know, at our age.
Good Lord,
you know,
yes.
Looking at the single scene in Vancouver, I honestly didn't think we'd be doing this.
I know, it's weird. I know. It's
we were like practicing naming our children when we were six. Okay?
I know, it's so strange. And it is strange. And even recently, I've been kind of like, well, you know, babies, well, you know, that'd be great. And I hope, but you know, now I'm kind of like,
If it happens, it happens.
I have a career that's so fabulous and I really enjoy it. And, you know, not everyone can parent. And I live on near Commercial Drive now. So there's a lot of young single parents there and quite poor, of course. And in that area, and I think, wow, you know, and I have some friends that were young parents and they were very poor, and sort of I'm like, you know, there's this choice between sort of parenting, I think, sometimes, and a lot of sacrifice, and then sort of being, you know, well off and doing well and having a very selfish life, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because the more that you can sort of concentrate on your career and do what you want to do in your life and give value to the world, the more that, that you can contribute. And if you're being a parent, it's hard to actually do a lot of that stuff because you're busy parenting. Parenting is a full-time job. And so then I'm like, well, you know, I'm giving a lot to society, as are you, Caroline, a huge amount with Beauty Night and Juice Box and all the things that you do. And so, you know, it's kind of like, well, we're contributing to society in a huge way. And if we had had children when we were in the age that we thought we would have children, would we be doing what we're doing now?
No, I don't think so. At all. I think we'd be focused all. Definitely on our family, because as you said, it's a huge commitment.
It's a huge job.
No,
so,
it's
you
true.
Know, I'm kind of doing this sort of juggle act in my heart right now. And but yeah, back to the speed dating.
No, the speed dating's funny. Oh,
so give another story.
Here's one from a boy's perspective. I tried it once and I was impressed. Chicks were hot. One gave me a hand job under the table.
What?
No, for real. It was up there. So I thought that was intriguing. And I wonder how many. And then here's another one. Instead of getting slapped by one girl, you get slapped with 20.
No, you get slapped by 20.
I think that's what they meant to write, but, you know, it's the whole typing factor, so.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I guess, but I even don't know around if you get so much rejection, because people are pretty friendly. You only have 5 minutes.
Well, everybody was used to going there, but Hillary and Charlie also put on a really good event. So in the sense that everybody was really comfortable. At the beginning, a lot of the guys I found were really nervous. And a few of them commented that on the fact that I wasn't very nervous, and they found that I was really confident. But and I think our guest is actually on his way in. So I'm going to keep
grab Charlie.
And she's just going to let our guests in. But with that, a lot of the guys just found that that we were really, really super confident. They were a little bit nervous, and we just wanted to make them feel super, super comfortable. And it was really, really, really important. There's also many different things that happen, though. Things like that, you know, you just don't think about, but I guess I think on regular dates, but with this type of networking thing, like, for example, the whole sweaty hand factor. There are a couple guys who, they shook my hand, and I just wanted to pull out my hand sanitizer and just wash my hands after, because it just was just sweaty and kind of limp handshakes. So it's really interesting how much you can tell about somebody by their handshake. I just found it really, really interesting. I was just telling everybody in terms of the handshake, just how important it is, just having a good handshake. But even things that, there are a lot of things that we felt that you shouldn't talk about, because Julia and I had a discussion about this beforehand. Things like, like obviously not talking about your exes. And I had one guy who started talking about his ex, and he just looked so heartbroken.
What?
I felt really bad.
Really?
Like, he's like, yeah, I just got out of a long-term relationship. And then he just looks at me completely woebegone, and I'm just like, oh. And he's like, I read that I'm not supposed to do this. I'm like, it's okay. It's all right. It's part of your life. You know, and he seemed all relieved, but I felt so bad. It was so sweet. Well, you know what?
Who? I'm sorry.
Which one was it? You know what? I wonder if we should take a short break. And,
yeah, maybe we should.
And then when we come back, we're going to be back. Charlie's going to be with us.
Our lovely guest Charlie's here. And actually, we've had a sort of shorter half hour because we were late. And thankfully, the host and hostess sort of warned us and got us out. Mm-hmm. Just so we were a bit late. But the second half of the hour will be atypical. And I'm sure that Hans Claus's Misery Hour that comes on next will allow us to go a little over time.
A little over time.
To make sure that we get this full interview in with the general manager of the Rendezvous Club. And that is rclub.ca. That's www.rclub.ca.
And if you want to call in with your stories, experiences, or questions for Charlie, you can give us a call at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
And there's more. If you want to maybe have a free ticket to any upcoming 19 to 25-year-old events that are coming up with the Rendezvous Club, call in during the break and we'll get them to you. Some free tickets, very expensive. They're $50 tickets to the 19 to 25-year-old event of speed dating on rclub.ca. So give a call at 604-822-2487, you said. Sorry, Caroline. And we do welcome your calls in general to Juicebox during the break especially. So do call us. You are on CITR. That is 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And we'll be right back.
right. If it's far enough in sight and right, I get to wear another dress and count in time. Oh, won't you do me the favor, man, of forgiving my polymorphing opinion here in your vague
Have you heard? The AMS has reopened the Sexual Assault Support Center. SASC has a great new location in rooms 119 A and B on the main floor of the sub, right across from McInnes Field. And we have full-time hours now, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Call ahead and make an appointment to suit your schedule, or drop in whenever the need arises. The SASC works within a feminist, anti-oppression perspective to provide support in the form of one-on-one counseling, accompaniments, advocacy, information, and referrals to male, female, and trans-identified survivors of violence. We also provide support and information for survivors' friends, family members, and partners. All the services provided at SASC are free, confidential, and non-judgmental. We work with you to identify and support your decisions about your needs. For more information, call 604-827-5180 or visit rooms 119A and B in the sub.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're back. Right, Caroline?
We are.
We back? We are actually back interviewing Charlie Byrne, general manager of the Rendezvous Club, at rclub.ca. They were amazing letting Caroline and I come tonight to their speed dating event between 25 to 35-year-olds. Now, let me just say, that song that we played was from The Shins, one of Miles' favorite groups that he never...
Really?
He always made me go to their concerts. And their particular album is Wincing the Night Away, near album, their newest album. the song that we played was Split Needles, and that was from Wincing the Night Away from the Shins.
And the speed dating's over, so you can mention X's now, so that's good. So we can pop that. And you guys popped our cherry tonight in terms of having us up and out there.
Well, I hope the 5 minutes was long enough then.
Yeah, 5 minutes, 10 pumps or less. I don't know if it counts. All right, so you recently won this world record for speed dating. Let's talk about that first. I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, it was actually just some crazy idea. A guy who came to one of our events just said, hey, why don't you guys, like, try to break the world record? Do, like, I don't know, 100 dates in 100 minutes. And we sort of sat on that for a bit and realized, hey, that's a pretty crazy idea, but let's do it. So, we had that in Vancouver. We had, we sold out. We had 200-plus people. And, it was...
200. You had some, like, 200-plus people. I think Hillary actually...
said about 250.
225 or 230, and you guys actually sat down and did this whole thing. And, I mean, we just did 11 men, and I am exhausted. Like, I'm just like... Wow.
We dated 11 men, which is more than I've dated all year. So
there you go. That's sort of our motto, is you get to all your month's worth of dates in one night. So
it feels that way. And I think actually I could see this being very effective. One of the things that Caroline and I talked about is that I think the speed dating thing is actually very effective in that you have this chemistry or not with a person. So if you do internet dating, you can fall in love online and be like, oh, you're so intriguing and so interesting and wow, I can't wait to meet you. And then you meet them and there's just no chemistry for whatever reason. We can think of a million reasons why there's no chemistry, but there's no chemistry.
But that's why they recommend that you know whether or not you like somebody within the first 10 seconds that they walk through the door.
Exactly.
And so it's important. And
exactly.
Even online, they do recommend you don't talk too much online. You get to meet them as quickly in person as possible, but the speed dating is definitely more better.
I think it's powerful, effective. Mm-hmm. I actually really love the idea of it. I think it's way more effective than internet dating.
Definitely.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel like our events are really a good way to sort of break down the social norms without sort of creating any disillusionment about the person that you're meeting. A lot of it has to do with expectations. So when you come to a speed dating event, you have no idea who you're going to meet that night. So you have no expectations. A lot of times, other sort of services, you sort of build up this expectation before you meet them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people look great on paper, and then you're just sort of setting yourself up for failure. So when you come to these events, you're starting right off the bat with a perfect stranger, and you're going to be thrown into the fire. And once you get over that initial uncomfortable sort of one-on-one FaceTime, you realize, hey, you know, we have an interaction. We can sort of talk to each other and really get to know one another.
I think that chemistry is the key thing. Even when Caroline and I were sitting at the front tables, sort of having our snack,
spying on everybody.
and I'm sure if the other people had been there, they would have been spying too. But we were kind of like, I was like, oh, that guy's cute. Oh, he's cute, or she's pretty, or whatever. Like, I could just sort of, you know, I think
just scoping out the situation
right away. I was like, oh, I was excited to talk to have those 5 minutes with those few people that I found attractive
and
by
intriguing.
my first vision of them I found it intriguing, and so I was like, oh, I get to have 5 minutes with that person and have a 5 minute date, and so it worked well. One of my questions I think right off were, how is this experience of speed dating kind of different from the bar scene? Because really at the bar you get about 5 minutes to talk to somebody as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they hang on too long and you can't get rid of them, or you can't get them to spend more than five minutes with you. But how do you find this different?
Well, that's one of the sort of nice things about speed dating is 5 minutes can either be an instant or an eternity, but at the same time, it's only 5 minutes. So if you want to track somebody down at the intermission or whatever, you can do that, but you only have 5 minutes with each person, and you're just trying to find out if you have a connection in that 5 minutes, and there's no strings attached. You just turn in a date card at the end of the night, you say yes or no for everybody, and that's that. And if you say no, then that's it. You won't hear from the person again unless you run into them on Granville Street or something.
Hey,
so it's definitely safer than internet dating as well in that sense, because you don't need to worry about about it because you guys control all that in terms of, do you want to meet them? No, yes, no. Just as long as you're careful not to give out too much personal, like the your company
name. So they can
name,
find
right?
you as a stalker.
They don't show up at your work with.
No,
have
I
you
never had
that any?
Happen.
I was just going to ask any stalker types of situations like that, or something really unusual or weird, or any other companies that do this. Maybe not your own, but horror
yeah.
stories.
You know, most of the time, 99% of the time, absolutely, you know, everything, it's actually a much safer environment than any other type, mm-hmm. you know, than a bar scene or even sort of internet dating, because you really don't know. But at our events, you know, we try to make everybody as comfortable as possible. They have so much fun. We give away prizes. We give them, you know, icebreakers and whatnot.
But nobody knows each other, which is what I think is a mm-hmm. safety. It's like they don't have any way of contacting each other at
After
all.
After the event, it's like you get to choose who you get to talk to, so... It's totally safe.
Mm-hmm. What do you find have you had a lot of success stories, like people getting married or describe?
Having long-term relationships.
Is that how you met your girlfriend?
I got a funny story there, but no, we started in 2005, and so that's about 2 years this May, actually. So now is the time where we've sort of been hearing about past clients who are getting hitched, and
nice.
You know, June is the popular month, and we just heard about our third wedding in June.
So do people contact you and say, hey, we met on your whatever, they tell you, they
yeah.
email you?
Well, it's sort of funny, we kind of get it, we get emails saying, hey, do you mind taking me off the newsletter, I met somebody at your event and now I'm getting married to them, so obviously I don't need more information on singles events, God forbid.
Interesting how much so many of us want to be partnered more than anything in life. It tends to seem it's strange, but God forbid. Yeah, so any other success stories or stalker stories? Those are some of the questions that I have as well.
Oh, of course we're going to get to that. Well, we had one ex-husband show up in an event. but that was, yeah, I mean, when you hold three events a week, and you've been doing this for 2 years, you're going to come across some interesting people, and
mm-hmm.
you know, love is all is fair in love and war, but
all is fair in love and war.
Who knows?
Dan 3 would love to hear that.
Do you find it works better for certain age ranges? Like, for example, say 19 to 25, where there's different things, like in terms of when they're prepping for it. Like, maybe, like, for us, like, I don't know, the whole Dale Carnegie, like, your sales technique, your 30-second pitch. Whereas, like, when you're, like, 19, it's a different, you know, because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend in terms of for somebody going to that type of event as opposed to the 25 to 35?
Well, there's definitely some similarities between all events, and mm-hmm. then there's some sort of specific things. I would say the biggest similarity is just how you interact with somebody. If you make them laugh,
yeah.
It's always a good sign. You know, that's if I'm looking over and I see a date and the lady's smiling, it's always a sure sign that something that you know, there's some sparks there or whatever, and that goes for any age range. As far as specific age sort of demographic strategies,
mm-hmm.
You know what, I can't say. I would imagine that later on, you know, because we do events for all ages, right? So
mm-hmm.
maybe in the 40 to 50 category, it's more important sort of where you live or what you do for a living or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've found that, you know, for the younger events, 1925, 25 to 35, it's mostly just how you interact with somebody. You know, if you know, you crack a joke and you hear crickets, it's probably not a good sign.
Well, one of the things that the Rendezvous Club gave to all participants is a sort of list of very interesting icebreaker questions that I found to be intriguing. So what are you, I mean, off the top of your head, Charlie, what are some of the kind of best sort of icebreaker questions that you could use speed dating, you could use wherever you're dating? I think they're just good opening mm-hmm. lines, you know, opening questions.
Oh, well, yeah, those questions on the back. I feel like those are possibly a last resort. I mean,
what is a perfect Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
I think what is your perfect Sunday
yeah,
is a really
yeah,
good way to get to
good.
Know somebody. How you spend your time is mm-hmm. what your values are, right? So
that's
I think that's
true.
A good question.
Absolutely.
I'm still trying to remember what the bird one was and why you put that one on there.
Yeah, how come you never see baby seagulls?
Thank
and
you.
To this day, I still don't know the answer to that question.
Where did you get that from?
You know what? It was Hillary, the president's own
Hillary's
idea.
The president.
And
really?
you know, to this day, it's something that, you know, we're talking about right now for a good 30 seconds. So.
I know, we're wasting valuable air time. Question. I was about to respond because I did see a baby seagull and it was at the top of a tall building, and I think that they all, like, nest at really, really tall, tall places, seagulls, so nobody ever sees them. Anyway, okay. But one of the other questions of that there, so what do you suggest? What are your best sort of icebreaker good opening line questions?
Well, you know what? The opening question, really, you have to sort of start the dialogue is really the thing. And then from there, you sort of, you see other avenues to talk and really make conversation. So right. Really, the initial icebreaker could be anything. If sometimes I go and sit in on some dates or whatever, if there's, obviously tonight we had a couple guys who didn't show up, so I went and schmoozed with some of the ladies. It's one of the perks of my job. And, I usually, depending on how many drinks I have, I'll mention something off the top of my head. You know, I mentioned a girl's manicure because it was glowing in the black light.
Yes, yes.
And I was, you know, burning a hole in my retina. So that was a good start. And then from there,
So an opener of a conversation. So it's not super helpful for our listeners what you're talking about, but I do understand what you're saying. I think that what I found to be a very common question tonight's speed dating event, I think I got half of the guys, you know, asking me, is this your first time doing this?
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. It's like, well, yes, it is. And is it yours?
It's a loaded question for sure. And it's going to probably come back at you too. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'd say the trick, especially when you're meeting a lot of people one night, you want to become memorable. So whatever you start your conversation with, be unique. If you're going to ask, you know, have you been to something like this before? You can almost rest assured that you're going to get asked that somebody else has asked that already. So, say something ridiculous. You know, I pointed out the glowing fingernails. Maybe I wasn't the only person to point that out, but you know, at least
it makes her feel unique.
Exactly, unique it makes her feel unique, and she'll remember the conversation. Hopefully.
So the fact I talked about serial killers wasn't a bad thing.
No, not at all. You know,
or the baby seagulls doesn't count because that's part of the line of questions. But I think being unique is a good response.
I think it's important in terms it really shows them who you are, and I think that's really, really, really important. In terms of that,
I think Caroline talked about something earlier in the interview. She asked about this sort of Dale Carnegie speech about, you know, how to sort of impress a person in 5 minutes. So one of the questions that I had come up with, because usually Caroline and I work on the show together, but we didn't have a chance to say, so we came up with a bunch of questions on our own, and we're kind of, okay, did you ask this? But I wonder how. I think it might be difficult to kind of keep things effective and down to 5 minutes. What do you suggest? There was this one guy, for example, tonight who gave this sort of two and a half minute speech about what he does and in his day at work. And it was very, very boring and kind of like, wow. I was sort of trying to be like, good for you. So then I had to come up with a question that might have brought us into a more interesting conversational area. But I think it's very challenging for any of us to be succinct, like I am being right now, challenged to be succinct. So what do you suggest? Like, do you think people should create this sort of Dale Carnegie speech thing, 5 minute thing, whatever? Obviously you don't have 5 minutes because you want to share time with them, but
30 seconds is usually about ideal. It's your elevator pitch. So you should be able to pitch it in the elevator.
What do you think, Charlie?
Well, you have to sell yourself, but at the same time, the best way of selling yourself is to not make it look like you're selling anything. And that way, if you can just sort of create a good, pleasurable interaction, they won't even know they're buying anything.
Good point.
So that's common true. Mistakes then, like what kind of the most common mistakes? Did we talk about this already?
Nope.
Would it be overselling? Would obviously be a big one.
Right. If you're just going in there to impress, you know, say when I told you earlier, I'm not usually this tall. I'm sitting on a wad of cash or something like that. People see right through that, especially I feel like Vancouverites in general are fairly more in tune with what's real in people. So
authenticity is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's more important, especially if you start your date and you realize you've been talking for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And you haven't heard a word.
Ask a question.
You got 2 minutes and 30 seconds to stop the Titanic from sinking.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of Titanics that were sinking tonight. I was like, really? There's
some that just bombed, dive bombed down. Some,
yeah. I'm sure I probably dive bombed too. I have a bit of a shock value girl, so I think I, like with the poor one guy who happened to work on the force, and somebody for some reason felt they had to warn me that there was a policeman in the room.
Oh, no,
and I found that very interesting because I've got a real issue with authority and I like to break rules, and that's kind of my my sort of lot in life. I think I've decided to be a rule breaker in some way for some reason. I don't know, this person gives this information. So then the guy sits down and right away I'm like, got my back up and I'm like, you're the cop, aren't you? He's like, and then I just proceeded to blow the date completely because actually he was a really nice guy and very attractive and healthy and all those things that cops tend to be. And it could potentially, one of the questions I did ask him, I said, well, why did you go on the force? Like, what was the point of, what are you just a control freak or what are you doing,
Did you really?
You just want to control everybody and just like, have all the power.
Well, I got to say, you guys are a couple of intimidating women. So I bet a lot of the guys sort of crashed and burned just because they're a little bit meager around you guys.
There's
you
a couple so? Really intense ones. But
you think so?
You.
Do you think we were intimidating? Did we sort of dress down? Maybe a turtleneck would have been better, eh?
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't been staring at your chest all night.
Okay.
I had been fairly good about my comments, and now I'm going to get in trouble for Hillary.
Good. I'm glad. Because the last 10 minutes of Juice Box, you do want to be juicy. It was very funny. The projections that we can sometimes have, and some of the dates that I had tonight were definitely projecting some stuff. I think you mentioned that the
X Factor.
And
it's a big one.
But I had, some good banter. I had a lot of men be kind of like bantering back and forth, being very courageous, actually, and I was quite impressed. And the women as well that I spoke to, and I threw some bisexual comments out just because I was like, well, it's not the bisexual speed dating tonight. And a couple of them laughed. A couple of them were shocked. They're like, what? And then some of them was like, yeah, that would be very Vancouver, wouldn't it? Like, the bisexual speed dating. It was good.
No, it's true. Well, before we went tonight, Julia and I were talking back and forth about what the best way, and it was like, okay, should we come up with three questions, basically? So
people can hear us on the right side
or
left side.
And so I was wondering, in terms of approach, like, have you talked to different people and what has worked best? Like, I know it depends on each person because you're going to get something different from every person. But is it kind of nice to have a few icebreaker questions that, besides the ones that you put together for us?
Yeah, definitely. You should probably sort of think about what you're going to say beforehand, before you come to the event. I mean, one thing I notice very common is that your first two or three dates are sort of like a deer in the headlights. You're not really sure what you're doing there. And then you sort of get a grip, and then you really start to meet people. So a lot of times your first two or three dates are write-offs, or you're not really sure how the night works or something like that. So definitely coming prepared to get your money's worth, for sure.
I found it the opposite, actually, where the first couple were actually really comfortable.
Yeah, like the first couple. They got yeses for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then after that, it was like, oh, God, do we have to do this again and again and again? Then it got interesting again, and then we had a break where we got a double date because Julia shared her man with me, which was kind of cool. He got the blonde and brunette, so it was kind of nice, and we got to chat. We had this whole three-way thing going, which was kind of lovely for a little bit, and then I realized I should back off and let her enjoy her date on her own.
Oh, no, it was great. There were several times where I was like, Caroline and I are now going to talk to you.
If you both check the guy off, maybe you'll send him a joint email.
Oh, it was funny. The cutie little Asian guy. He was so cute.
He was so sweet. Oh, he was cute. And he's just like, what do you mean? Because Julia right off the bat is like, I'm too old for you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
No, oh, no, like, you weren't intimidating at all tonight. No.
I was older than all of them by like 10 years, it seemed. And I was just like, oh, God.
Well,
I think I should go to the 50-year-old.
Make me a puma, you know that? I think so.
But on the way back from the break, I kind of whispered in that guy's ear. I said, Caroline and
we'll
I are going to be double date with you
we'll
and me and her alone. I said to him, like, and all his friends were like, whoa. Yeah, it was fun.
Now that poor guy had a few interesting questions, too. So the girls do give them zingers, too. Because like, he was the one who told us about the that girl who apparently
she said that Japano Pornomation. She's a voiceover for the Japano.
I wanted to meet her. So yeah. That should be a great guest on the show.
Yeah, that's and that's a great icebreaker right there. I've never heard that before. That sounds cool.
Yeah, and then she asked him what sex toys that he liked, and he said a butt plug, and then realized afterwards he'd never used one before. And Julia's just like, well, I could help you with that.
Well, yeah, Julia.
I said I could teach him a thing or two about
good point.
Yeah, you're a teacher, so I would imagine you'd like the younger guys. That's you can endow your wisdom upon these, fresh minds.
You know, I would love, I think maybe after I turn 40, I might begin to be more cougar-like and actually go after the ones that are under 30, because up till now, I've kind of been in the hopes that I might actually give my body to men that I might marry someday and have a family with. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of been in this realm of like, I'll only have sex with you if I could potentially have a baby with you. And that's kind of how I've lived my life for the last, 15 years about my sexuality. So, I only fuck men that I think I could have a baby with. So, or delude myself into thinking that maybe something might happen between us relationally. So that's kind of how I've done it. So now for me, I don't see these young men at all as something that I could ever have a baby with. So, I just kind of don't even go there. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that maybe once I get over this baby thing that I'm feeling and that I actually like, it's all over and I'm 40 and I'm like, fuck it, I'm not having, babies now. So then I might start to become the real cougar who like fucks the guys under 30 and like has classes with like three of them, like, just worshiping my body and doing all kinds of things to me that I'd like them to do.
I'll put that in my calendar.
Yeah. 2.5 years from now.
I love it. It's so Sex in the City.
Yeah. And I'll just be like, you know what? I'm just going to turn into, what's her name? That girl in Sex and the City. Kim Cattrall. And I'm going to be like, worship this pussy.
Samantha.
Forever, and make me come and ejaculate and do whatever else, because you're young and your cock is never soft, and just do the business.
See, I'm holding off till I'm 90. I'm gonna get
90.
I am. I'm gonna get plastic surgery in every part of my body and then fuck until I die, and I'll just make sure I leave him enough money to go to therapy, because I'm gonna die when I'm fucking and I'm gonna have an orgasm.
Leave a trail of semen right to your grave there, huh?
Exactly. I think I'm gonna like it.
Oh my god, what's that movie with the 80-year-old woman and the 25-year-old boy?
Oh, there's lots of those ones.
Wedding Crashers.
Like the pornography.
No, Wedding Crashers. No. It's Harold and Maude.
Oh.
They
you guys
don't really
are too
fuck,
young.
Though, do they?
You're too young.
I
yes,
the
they
play.
Fuck. Yes, they fuck like crazy. Sorry. Charlie, are we...
Play.
What's that?
I blocked it out.
No. I can't get in trouble for what you guys say, so...
No, you can't. We can say fucking shit on here.
Yes. We just can't talk about money.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say how much the rclub.ca ticket events cost. But you can get a free one for the 19 to 25-year-old event if you call in right now, 604-822-2487. You can get a free ticket, you young listeners. And if you are not in the 19 to 25-year-old category, email us at Juicebox and say, we heard about your speed dating. You'd be kind of interested. And we'll send it on to the rclub.ca. rclub.ca. It's such a short, awesome, sweet little website, and I can't get it right.
I have a weird question for you.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Do you think people should actually do some soul searching before they actually come to an event?
Why are they there?
Like, if they're looking for, say, a life partner, obviously that's different than if they just want to find somebody that they can take home at the end of the night. It's going to be totally different about how they approach people.
Definitely the approach is different for sure. I feel like a lot of people do soul searching, but then when they come in the door, it sort of
goes
out the window. Yeah.
So how would you suggest in terms of keeping it so they can actually find what they want, maybe, besides practice and coming to more events so they can just get better at that sort of thing?
It definitely helps. Sometimes people come to two or three events before they meet somebody they really like. And I think a lot of it just has to do with sort of Maybe you want to write an affirmation on the back of your date card, something to remind you why you're there or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own reasons for coming, and it's come to the point now where speed dating is no longer a sort of fad that you see in 40-year-old virgin or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people come to the events. We've sold out at the Eatery for the last six events now, and minus a few no-shows tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's... You don't have to worry about the social stigma so much as just search within yourself and figure out why you're there. And then if you do that, you'd probably have a better event for sure.
Well, why do you think that your events are so popular? Because there's lots of other speed dating things around Vancouver, but I've noticed from your website, and I think the Rendezvous Club does very well. What do you think is your edge?
Well, we're a very youthful company, which helps, especially a lot of times for, let's say, under 40. People don't really want to come speed dating, or a lot of times they look at themselves and they say, I don't want to go speed dating, you know.
I don't need that.
I don't need that, whatever, mm-hmm. I can just go to a bar. But we've gotten to the point now where we put on such great events and people come and they're talking with their friends and whatever, and a lot of our new clients were referred from friends and whatever, and they come from an event and they have a blast, and then they say, hey, I went to this event, it was really cool, you know, I met some people.
Mm-hmm. Word of mouth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot. Most of our new attendees are just word of mouth, or they come with friends or whatever.
Nice.
So we try to put a lot of value into the event and make people sort of really immerse themselves in the night, so that it flies by and they say, whoa, that was cool. Mm-hmm. And so we really take a vested interest in sort of a customer first kind of approach, and it's mm-hmm. cliche to say that, but
it's good.
we're a small business, and you know, we are hemorrhaging money, but mm-hmm. we put every penny that we have into the event so that people have a good time at the event, because really it's like a free form of advertising if they come and talk about it the next day.
Wow.
Have you found that you've had more people since the world record event, just because of the media? Like, I know you guys were on Breakfast Television. I got to meet Hillary on Breakfast Television and all that. So
yeah. Well, it was definitely a sort of a gong show of a night, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience, and you know, we did have a lot of media. Ben the Butler from 94.5. Oh, that's a different radio station. I guess mm-hmm. that's competition here.
No,
I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, but we had you know, Breakfast Television, City mm-hmm. TV, and everybody covered it. And then after that, you know, people just sort of overheard people saying, oh, Rendezvous Club, no, I've heard mm-hmm. of them, you know. And we sort of put ourselves on the map in Vancouver. And
nice.
I mean, breaking a world record is not a small feat.
No.
So it was a crazy night. And also, you know, we sort of, definitely in Vancouver, we are the face of speed dating. So it's good to have a big event like that to sort of say, look, this is our company, and we'll show you a good time.
That's cool. You do three events a week, so in regards to that, are they different? Because I know you've got the ones at the Eatery that you've said you've done about six of them. Where else do you do them? Like, and is it different each time, like in terms of demographic-wise or that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've really just sort of been trying to meet the demand. We do age demographics, so the one tonight, for example, was a 25 to 35. And then we also do 30 to 40, 40 to 50, et cetera. Mm. We also have cocktail parties every week as well. They're just sort of singles. We call them mix and mingles, and they're every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times some people say, oh, well, maybe speed dating's not the thing for me, but I still want to come and I want to meet somebody in a safe atmosphere and meet some single people. And so we have a cocktail party, and it's just, it's on your own terms, and you can meet people that way. So we're really just trying to meet the demand. There's always going to be single people, and we enjoy putting on the events, so we just want to put on fun events for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I think we have to wrap it up there, kids.
Up.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So announcements. Thank you, Charlie.
Well, we've got the Love Your Body Real Woman contest that's coming out, so you get to check out babs.ca, babs.ca, and that's for really curvy women. I went by the store the other day, and
oh, good.
Looked like there was some pretty hot women. For that number, it's 604-408-4881.
And that is Love Your Body. It's a real woman model contest. Please, they're looking for curvy ladies. Babs.ca, I think it'll be fabulous. And we do have to definitely thank rclub.ca for a mm-hmm. fabulous night tonight. Speed dating. Rendezvous Club had an amazing time. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Julia and Caroline.
We did break. We need another rose for Julia. We're running in through the...
We're running, and I like trying to rush to my car, and I like slam my door, and I look up, and the rose head had been snapped right off.
Oh.
I like open my door, and like all I have is...